This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Our next guests on the line coming to us live from where I assume is Australia. They've just... they haven't just finished, but they've directed a film called Lesbian Space Princess, which is showing at the New Zealand International Film Fest. It is screening here in Otepoti at the Regent this Saturday. We have directors Emma Huff-Hobbs and Leela Varghese coming through to talk about this new film. Good morning to both of you. How are we feeling?
Good morning.
Kia ora. We are good. We're in bed.
It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be at, I'm assuming it's 8 o'clock where you are.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Can I also assume we're in Melbourne?
Yeah, we're in Melbourne. Hey. We're not normally in Melbourne, but we're in the land of the lesbians right now, which is very fitting for our Victorian premiere.
Very, very fair. Whereabouts are you all based in Australia normally?
We're normally in Adelaide.
Oh, true. Okay, so I've heard some really interesting comparisons between Dunedin, and which is the city where we're currently streaming from, where we are. I've heard some interesting comparisons between Dunedin and Adelaide. Could you give like a quick rundown of like the highs of Adelaide?
Yeah.
There's a lot of wine country. Food.
Yeah, you can go anywhere in the world and you'll find a bottle from McLaren Vale or Barossa.
There's easy access to beach and easy access to, like, hiking.
Cool.
You can drive anywhere in about... Anywhere is, like, half an hour at the most.
Mean.
You can get four different types of terrain in half an hour.
And, yeah, it's pretty chill and quiet there.
Okay, sounds kind of similar to Dunedin. I've heard similar things maybe about the music scene, where it's kind of a little bit industrial, a little bit, heavy-ish and a bit weird. Is that kind of the vibe?
Ooh, yeah, definitely big on heavy music. Yeah, we had, it's temporary closed, but we had the Cranker, which is where you go for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Clanker, do you say? The Cranker,
Crown and Anchor.
I love that. That's awesome. We actually have a place in Dunedin called The Crown, funnily enough.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's kind of like the hotspot for all that weird, loud stuff. It's awesome. It's great. Now, before we get into talking about this film, I want to know, how is Ao Adebiri getting on?
Well, yeah, she's being looked after by our house sitter at the moment.
True.
We have a cat called Ao Adebiri, and she's 8 months old. She's kind of grown out of her, like, 24/7 zoomies. And so we're teaching her how to cuddle.
No, oh, that's adorable. And she's all healthy. There's no issues with her health.
Nah, she's a little cat.
Nice. That's awesome. That's great. I love little kitty cats. Kitty cats are the best.
Yeah. Do you have a cat?
We have in my flat. We have two cats. So we have Moss, who's my partner's cat. He's a little ginger ball of fur, and then we have Igor, who's kind of a bit intense, but he's really cuddly. He also has three legs. One of his legs got amputated earlier this year, and it was stressful when it happened. But honestly, he's kind of become a better cat before. He's become far less mean. He's become far nicer since that. But yeah, Igor's great. I want to talk about this film. It had a world premiere at the 75th.
Let's talk about the cats. Cats.
We can talk about cats all day long. But this film had a world premiere at the 75th Berlin International Film Fest in June. It screened at the 72nd Sydney Film Fest, and it's been showcased at Cannes. Reflecting on all this compared to where you started with this project, how are you feeling?
It's great and a bit tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's like we got to travel all around the world. We did like two round the world trips this year, and we're going back to Europe in a little bit. I think we're a little bit tired, but we're grateful for all the opportunities. Like, it's cool that we made a film that was like so specific in who it was for, and it's not only appealed to that specific audience, but to more general audiences as well. Like, we couldn't have imagined its more broad appeal for a film named Lesbian Space Princess.
Yeah, we're happy for the film that it's gone all, like, it's also gone to many places we haven't gone as well. And so it's just been like traveling all over the world and having a great time and meeting people.
Did you anticipate that you'd have to make so many appearances when you made this film?
It's funny, actually. I don't think we really thought about this year very well at all. We didn't really know. Yeah, we didn't know what a year traveling with the film would be like. You're just so focused on finishing it that, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. Just so blindsided by all of the opportunities, and you want to do as many as possible. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It's very exciting stuff. I mean, it's interesting because with new films, I think there's kind of an interesting marketing or a new dimension to films these days with the advent of Letterboxd, right? Which is a really, really awesome kind of logging or reviewing film platform. In April, the film was number 9 on a Letterboxd Top 50 Films of the Week, and it currently holds a 3.9-star average with about 1,000 reviews. What I quite like was that this film is by lesbians, of the lesbians, and for the lesbians. Do you guys read a lot of Letterboxd reviews?
Dangerous question to answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure how honest we should be. Yes, we're aware of Letterboxd because it's our first film and we're little nerds. Mm-hmm. We love Letterboxd. It's like so amazing just like getting that feedback on the film.
Yeah, and it's really great when you want to stalk, like when it's played somewhere that you're not in. Like it's played at a festival, like in a random country somewhere, and you're like, I want to see how they reacted. Like you're curious.
Mm-hmm.
And Letterboxd has been really supportive as well. Like they collaborated on sharing our trailer and our poster, and so that's really cool. Like you can find our poster and trailer on the Letterboxd Instagram.
Mean that's awesome. I mean they're. I think that their mission is pretty noble to kind of, you know, bring a bit of a platform to movies. It feels like movies were dying for a little bit in maybe around the pandemic time, in fact. That was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool to bring a sort of new digital audience to films, you know?
So true.
And people have so much fun. Like, I think people just love the excitement of seeing a movie and then knowing they can jump onto Letterboxd.
It's great. It's great. I saw one pretty relatively serious review where someone said that the film gives an honest portrayal of being an over-apologizer and being romantically blinded by someone, that you uncritically absorb all their shortcomings, which can lead to lots of nasty things. Now, are those traits that you've both noticed about yourselves? Yeah?
No.
Be blindsided by love.
Yeah, but I don't know if I've absorbed, like, I think I've just become pathetic. I don't know if I've absorbed any of the person's traits.
I've definitely met people that Leela has had crushes on and been like, really? It's a bit mean.
Sometimes you're just blindsided by a crush, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or by love, it's like, yeah, you just, I don't know, complicated, question.
Sorry, we can move on from that then, and instead talk about the visit you had in Tamaki Makaurau in Auckland a couple of weeks ago for a New Zealand International Film Fest workshop about animating and collaborative chemistry. How'd that go?
Oh my god, it was so much fun. Like we developed those workshops in the weeks leading up, and then getting to like trial, we did like a different format because there's two of us. We interviewed each other about the different processes of the film, of making the film, and I was going through like the hard drives and getting all of this BTS stuff, and so it was really cool like talking to everyone about the film and then seeing what they were responding to. And they got to see like this really like awful looking work in progress clip that we used to get the film funded. So I feel like it was quite honest in terms of like, you know, this film was kind of glued together with duct tape, and it was always kind of that way. And if we could do it, you know, I think it maybe got rid of the smoke and mirrors a little bit for people that came along.
Well, that's cool because I think it gives an honest insight into the film, and I think that kind of the fact that it was made with duct tape, as you say, is probably a boon more than anything, really, eh?
We love duct tape.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great stuff. It's very, very handy. What did you make of Auckland itself? What was your feelings about Auckland?
It was very actually felt a lot like Australia, actually, like a bit like Melbourne, actually, where but we were in the city. So that, you know, obviously that makes sense. We didn't actually get to go exploring around the suburbs, but we did go to the zoo.
We did go to the zoo. I was like, the one thing I want to do is see a kiwi. And so we beelined to the zoo, beelined to the kiwi enclosure, and then we saw two kiwis. It blew my mind.
It was it in one of those nighttime rooms where they have a red light going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was really dark. It wasn't even a red light. It was just like a blue light, I think. It was really dark.
Nocturnal.
It was cool.
And then we saw a demonstration in a Kia.
We saw a Kia. Yeah, we saw two Kias.
Yeah,
they were really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, so cool.
They're sick. I recently kind of had a kind of reverse experience to you. When I went to Melbourne in February, I wanted to go see some Australian wildlife and went to an animal sanctuary just out of Melbourne. I think it was the Healesville Animal Sanctuary, which is incredible. Got to see platypus and no wombats, unfortunately, or Tasmanian devils, but lots of kangaroos, wallabies. The tree sloths were pretty awesome. There's tons of cool stuff over there.
Yeah, and also I promise we're cool people. We also spent like every night at this bar called Night Car, which is really cool. It's like this big red room.
We're not cool people. I just wanted to clear that.
We have a lot of cool friends who took us there.
Oh, that's awesome, man. The Melbourne comedy trio Auntie Donna show up in this film. They play the kind of antagonists. They're these straight white malians, which is incredible wordplay. What was it like working with them? You know, did it take a lot of corralling and concentrating to get them into doing the lines?
Oh my gosh, absolutely not. They are the most professional people you've ever met, actually.
True.
They're very, so sweet and, like, so... not just like professional, also very kind, like in terms of like what they give you as artists. Like, they were just amazing. We were like blown away. We had the time of our lives. What do you always say? It was like a personal Auntie Donna.
Yeah, we had like our own personal Auntie Donna podcast for like 6 hours.
And we just like walked away being like, oh my God, that is comedy talent genius they are. And we were really lucky actually because they did a lot of improv in their stuff, but like they used the bones of what we had, but they made it like Auntie Donna special, and they were the only cast members that were able to record together, which was really lucky that we could do that. But we were really excited because Broden and Zach came along to our Victorian premiere the other night, and that was really fun.
Oh, that's so special.
Yeah.
They seem like very, very lovely people. I really want to get them on this program at some point. I'm watching them for a hot second. But, yeah, that's awesome. Your film is playing at our town hall, or not town hall, our biggest theatre this week, which is super exciting. Is there going to be a digital release for folks who might miss this round of screenings?
So there'll be a cinema release, I believe, in Australia and New Zealand on September 11th. This year, and then I'm sure that will be followed by some sort of digital release if you can't catch it in cinemas. But I encourage it's a fun kind of film to be in the room with other people with, for sure.
Oh, it's awesome. I can't wait to see it in cinemas, probably in September, as I can't make the screening this week, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to seeing it then. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I really, really appreciate it. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
We hope you enjoy if you can make the film. Have a lovely day. Thank you so much for having us, Zach.
Of course, anytime. Any final words, Leila?
Just have a great life, everyone, and look after yourselves. I hope you like the movie, but you don't have to see it if you don't want to.
Words to live by. Alrighty. Thank you very much, gang. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya. All right, folks, that was Emma Huff-Hobbs as well as Leila Varghese. We're talking to them about their new film, Lesbian Space Princess, which is out now. They've requested Cool to Be Queer by Chella. So we're going to play that, and we'll probably have some news updates in about half an hour. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.